And I was so in love with him, I'll tell you, beloved, and I was lifted up in such a realm that I actually believed and I knew that where I was in God right then, that if he'd bring me to a place, you know, to where I'd live like that all the time, that all I would need would be his breath on a crust of bread and his breath on a glass of water, and I could live literally physically. But since that time, I've come to know, beloved, and believe that he was showing me that he was going to strip me of my garments of darkness that revel. You see what I mean? In other garments of darkness, and that I'd come to the place to where I'd only revel and feed and delight and water in the pure bread from heaven and the pure water of the Word and of the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Now, I guess if you got to that place, you could live on bread and water because you'd have that much of the breath of God upon you. Hallelujah. You understand what I'm saying to you, saints? Reveling. Now, he said, let us walk honestly. And when you're honest inside, really honest inside, how can you walk reveling or delighting in someone else's downfall or someone else's afflictions or someone else's misery? Now, come on, saints. How can you revel in somebody else's affliction? Only if you have that cloak of darkness on. You see what I mean? And you're walking in delight. Well, you're just delighting now that God has done something to your enemy. God slapped him down, and you're walking, and I told you so. But now, you're not walking honestly, huh? If you're honest, how are you inside? God, I'm a sinner. Saved by grace. I deserved hell. That's all I deserve. And when you look at somebody else that's even missed what God had for them, beloved, it'll humble you if you're walking honestly, because honesty will tell you that you're not where you are because you're such a great fella, huh? You're where you are just by the mercy and the grace of God.
Amen.
If we got what we deserved, we'd get hell. Now let's walk honestly. In the convention this summer, if I don't bust with it before, hallelujah, this word really gets in you. And you can just keep it so long, and then it'll burn you, and then you've got to come out with it. But if it doesn't burn me up before June, I'm going to show you the mystery of how the blood will produce the fruit of the Spirit. You hear me? The mystery of the sin offering, the whole burnt offering, and the peace offering will produce the fruit of the Spirit in you. Hallelujah to God. Let us walk honestly. And beloved, if you've undressed and you're walking in the light, hallelujah. Now this is not a small thing, getting ready. We thought it was going to be Caesar getting ready, didn't we, huh? Huh? This is not an easy thing, being prepared for his appearing. Well, beloved, what are you talking about? This is the biggest thing for time and eternity. All right, let's take another one here, and let's see another little point here. He said, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Now put ye on, not only put on the light of the Word, but put him on in full stature. And you'll see that word Lord spelled with a small D. He said, put on the Lord Jesus Christ. And when you see Lord spelled with a small D like this, it's your English differentiation from the Hebrew word Adonai, which means master and husband. Now listen to me, I'm going to show you something. This word here comes from that. When you see it capitalized all the way through, it goes back to the secret name of God or the name of Jehovah. We inserted the vowels and got the name Jehovah. But actually, it was the secret name of God. But in our English, your rendition here in English is differentiated between these two ways here by a small d. Now, I want you to look in your Bible there, and you'll see a small d. But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ. Put ye on the Master, the Husband. Now, there are three. I might as well give you the other three, since we're on it. I've mentioned it before, and if I go over it enough, you'll learn it after a while. There are three primary names for God in the Old Testament. Now, we have lots of compound names, but we've got just three primary names. Now, what do I mean by primary name, huh? Pardon? What do I mean by primary names? The basic names of God. Now, there were lots of other names, like he was called Lord God, both with the small d and both with the capital D, and there are all kinds of names that God revealed himself in the Hebrew to the Israelites by, which are very precious and wonderful. And also Jesus, is he not called by these two same names? Sure he is. Amen. Now, what he says here, put on the Lord, this word here, Adonai, has to do with husband and master, and has to do with his ownership. Amen. His ownership power. And the Lord has to do here, this name in Hebrew, has to do with his revealing power. And of course, God here, Elohim, had to do with his creating power. Now, it took these three primary names to show the full, complete power of God. Are you following me, saints, huh? I think I lost some of them then. How many of you don't understand what I'm saying? Now, I'm saying it for your benefit. If you don't, well, put your hand up and I'll go back over it again. Well, now see, some of them, since you got honest, brother, some of the rest of them got courage too. How many of you really don't understand? All right. I'm going to go back over. See, it hit me right back in the face, and I knew when I get the bounce back like that, somebody missed it. All right, so you've already got it on tape, Brother Don, so you don't have to hear what I have to say right now. Hallelujah. Names to reveal or to show forth God's complete power. God wanted to show all of his power by these three names here. That has to do with what I'm studying here. And this is a deep form here. His first way he revealed himself was in Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God did what? Created. That's his creating power. In the beginning, God created. Now, there's a side to God's power. If you'll stay with me now, put your minds on God. And in doing that, watch the preacher, and then you'll listen to what I'm saying. Otherwise, you're going to listen to whatever you're looking on. You're going to meditate on what you look for. It's not that I want you to meditate on me, but I want you to meditate on what I'm saying. Now, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Elohim means the strong one, the one who's got power to create. Now, I want you to notice this. The next way that God revealed himself was with capital L-O-R-D, or Jehovah, the revealing power. Amen. The revealing power. He has power to reveal all of his secrets and mysteries. It takes power to reveal. Did you know that?
Yes.
It takes power to reveal. That's why we need the baptism of the Holy Ghost. We need that revealing power, hallelujah, that will reveal the Word of God to us. And that same power through us, that same anointing through us, will reveal the Word then unto others.
Amen.
What the Savior said.
Amen.
Hallelujah. All glory be to God. I'm on my Shaddai. If you would understand what I'm saying to you, your Bible would live to you afresh and anew tonight just by plain reading. You would read it in the light of what I'm talking to you about. Now, how many of you understand that? God's creative power, that's a part of his power, but there's more to God's power than just creative power. And another part of his power is his revealing power, but there's more to his revealing power than just, to his power than just revealing power. And then the third thing here is his possessing power, or his ownership power. God's got power under the Messiah to possess. Because he's the master, a lord, a husband. Amen. You understand what I'm saying to you?
Amen.
Glory be to God. Now he said, you put on the Lord. The master, the husband, you put on his possessing power. Glory to God. You understand what I'm saying? Saints, how many of you have ever come to the house of God and you came And oh, you was lifted up and you got a blessing and you interceded and you did this and you did that and you danced and you had this time. But when you went back home, you felt yourself sort of undressed. I mean, you wanted to lay hold of something, but you didn't. Your will was so conformed seemingly to the things of God when you were in the house of God. Your mind was so conformed, your determination seemed to be so great. But when you got away from the house of God and you got back to your job, you got back to your home, you found these same old carnal things that coming up inside of you, and you found the deceitfulness of your will and your heart. Now, how many of you have that experience?
Amen.
You know what's happened? You haven't put on His possessing power. Now, you listen to me. I know what I'm talking about. Once you have really, I'm almost Shandaya, undressed of the darkness, and once you have really begin to put on the light, I'm talking about particular things, we don't get it all in one time, and you begin to walk a little bit, and then you begin to put on, hallelujah, the Lord Jesus Christ, praise the name of the Lord. You begin to put on the Lord. He possesses that. I'll tell you, He'll possess it from now on out. Hallelujah to God. Now, you understand what I'm saying, do you? Huh?
Amen.
I'll tell you what, you put Him on, the Lord, the Master, the Husband, and you put Him on in your will, you won't have to worry about getting into the Word. You done been possessed. You're dressed in possessing power. You won't have to worry about backing up on God. You won't have to worry about this. And you won't have to worry about that. You done been possessed. Hallelujah. You put Him on. Hallelujah. You're clothed with Him. There's nothing else you want. That's one thing to want nothing else when you're in the house of God where the Word's flowing and the power's flowing and so on. You find your heart and your mind playing a trick on you when you get back home.
Amen.
You understand what I'm saying? Now, I didn't finish walking with you either. Let me go back and walk with you a little bit more. Now, you just stay with me. Now, if you want the blessing, why, just stay around. The best blessings are around midnight anyway. Brother Dave's been keeping those people up there at 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning in Tulsa. That's how hungry those people are up there. Now, that's the truth. And Sister Dorn was telling me when she got the dancing in the spirit, never had danced in the spirit. Why, it must have been after way after midnight up there and so on. God moves better after midnight anyway. You know why? Because only those that are sincere will stay after midnight. Hallelujah. All right, let's go back now for just a minute. Now, don't get too tired on me because I'm working here for your benefit. All right, let's go back to verse 13. I want to finish that a little bit. We just had one point there. Not right, and that is not reveling, and not in drunkenness, not dopey, and dull and stupid in your mind, and drunk on the cares and the things of this life. Not in chambering. Now, that's a tremendous word, that chambering. That means that there's some things that it's all right with God, beloved, when people are married and things like that, but don't be excessive about it. Don't be walking in that thing. Don't be walking in the lust of the flesh. You can still walk in the lust of the flesh even though you're married, let's face it. Now, if I had you a separated group, I'd really blister you right now, but I won't. And wantonness. Look at that word wanton. You know what that word wanton means? It means frisky and playful and not controlled. And as I've told you before, beloved, the spirits of fornication and adultery arise in that type of a spirit. That wanton spirit. That frisky, playful spirit that's so cute and frisky when it gets around the opposite sex. Oh, well, I didn't mean to offend you. Well, we was just having a good time. Sure you were. God said to be sober-minded. That kind of spirit goes down with the darkness here, and you're supposed to put that off. Now, I'm not talking, we don't have to go around with long mule faces. We have a lot of fun, Holy Ghost fun. We have a lot of Holy Ghost good time going this way. Well, sometimes we laugh until we nearly roll in the floor. Hallelujah. and God's working and moving through. It's funny when the Holy Ghost comes on people. They're just funny, that's all. And we're not making fun. We're just having a good time. Amen. Hallelujah. And you just have a lot of fun going this way. But that's not, that's something else again. This thing here is something different again. That thing that makes you make cute remarks in the presence of the opposite sex because you want them to laugh and get tickled at you. There's been many a home broke up that started with this spirit right here. It always starts with this spirit here. Now you listen to me. And they can call me anything they want to call me. They can say anything they want to say about it. It makes me no difference. Bless God, I've got a little spiritual education and I know a few things. And people can declare their innocency all they want to. But beloved, when they've got that frisky, playful, cute spirit to the opposite sex, and then they haven't got a kind wife for their own, a kind word for their own companion, then something, they don't have to tell me no more. I'm done reading between the lines. Amen. And I'm reading with Holy Ghost reading too. Praise God. Yea, my people, I say unto thee, look up unto the Lord thy God, for yea, I would desire to sober thine hearts this night. For yea, I've lifted up my word like a trumpet, yea, even if I lifted it up before thine ears. Yea, this night, and I say I would desire that thou would sober thine heart, and that yea, thou would look into the mirror, for yea, I say unto thee, there are things that I desire to undress thee off tonight. Yea, I desire to cast off the works of darkness. Yea, I say unto thee, I'm speaking, and I'm dealing in the innermost part of thy soul, for yea, I have seen thy frisky spirit. Yea, I've seen thy playful spirit. Yea, I say, humble thyself before the Lord thy God and cast off the works of darkness that he might clothe thee with his light tonight, saith the Lord. Lift up your hands.
This is tape number 15, side 1 continued. The following is the second message on the rapture, given Sunday morning, March 10, 1963.
And I was showing you a stature there, a preparation. And we learned the first thing was to take heed to self. Wasn't that true? Take heed to self, beloved, that will surfeit. That is, have your heart overcharged. We saw the disease there, and we saw the symptoms of the spiritual heart disease. Your heart overcharged. That means just bursting asunder. Your whole being centered around the carnal, around eating and around drinking and around the cares of this life. And lots of Christians are in this category today, unfortunately. And then we were learning, we were on the second thing about watching. And we learned that that word watch implied being awake, to be awake. As Jesus told the disciples, he said, what, couldn't you watch with me 1 hour? They went to sleep. They weren't awake. And it's for sure while you're watching and praying, prayer goes along with this. Be awake and be praying. Well, you're not going to go to sleep. You can't sleep and pray at the same time. But prayer will keep you awake. And then we were studying and learning the purpose of staying awake. And we went to Romans, the 13th chapter. Let's pass that way just by review. And we'll hurry on here this morning. Perhaps we can get off of the preparation part this morning anyway. We'll hurry as quickly as possible. In the 13th chapter of Romans, we begin to see the purpose of being awake. What was the purpose of being awake, saints? Huh? I can't hear you. Oh, that's just part of it. Now, what's the main thing? What's the purpose of being awake? To get dressed. That's it. and you can't get dressed with the bride's garments unless, beloved, that you cast off the garments of darkness, of ignorance, and of misery, and so on. Now then, in the 13th chapter of Romans, beginning in verse 11, well, we saw something there, didn't we? Hmm? And we saw a little stature there of how to get dressed. Let's put it over here so we can work around it. How to get dressed. What was the first thing we had to do, huh? That's right, to cast off the works of darkness, cast off the works of ignorance and misery and affliction. And then he told us to put on what? Light. Let's put on the light. Let's put on the armor of light. Because without your armor of light, you'll not be able to walk honestly. You'll not be able to walk honestly. And we studied there of how to walk honestly. And you're not walking honestly when you're walking in rioting. That means reveling. Are you walking in drunkenness? Are you walking in chambering? And are wantonness and not in strife and envying. When you're walking in strife, how do you know when you're walking in strife? What is strife? Huh? Exactly, competing with somebody else. That spirit of ambition, what are you striving for? To get ahead of somebody else. When somebody else sort of pushes you down, do you just accept it before the Lord and try to learn your lesson of humility, or do you find something come up and try to get back at them and try to shove them in the nose, huh? You're not walking honestly, amen. And so envy, not walking in envy. Envy means to pine away. When you hear somebody else's prosperity or you hear somebody else's success or you find God doing something for them that he doesn't seem to be doing for you, do you have a sick feeling over in the northwest corner that you feel like you're just pining away? You're just wasting away inside, huh? Well, you're not walking honestly. To walk honestly, beloved, you've got to have the light. And to have the light, you've got to cast off darkness. And then in verse 14, we learned he said to put on the Lord Jesus Christ. I showed you how that Lord there spelled with a small D meant master and husband. Put him on and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. And so put on Jesus. Now when you're awake, you're going to be after these things. Now we don't just do this all at one time, but we're continually casting off the works of darkness, the garments of darkness. We're continually putting on the armor of light. We're continually walking more honest every day when we get down on our knees before Jesus, letting him search out our hearts and being honest in your heart to yourself and before God. Beloved, if you'll be honest, you can always know what's eating at the bottom of your heart. If you're honest, you can always tell when your attitude is wrong. When you're honest, you can always tell when your disposition is wrong. And when you're not being honest, you'll start putting the blame off on somebody else. You'll start putting the blame off on your situation, on your circumstance, on your church, on your pastor. Just put it on anybody but yourself. That's not being honest. When you're honest, you can tell what's wrong. And so we don't put Jesus on all at one time, but we are busy putting him on. Now you're going to have to be awake, and you're going to have to be watching every opportunity, beloved, to lay hold of him. Praise God. And prayer time is a good opportunity to lay hold. You're missing. You're not watching. You're not being awake when you sit there and gaze around. If you would just even, after you get through praying, just start meditating on Jesus, meditating on some message you've heard recently, meditate on something that Jesus has been quickening to you recently, and so on. You'd be surprised how he'll reveal it to you. And Jesus showed me a mystery this morning while I was awake up here, amen. after I got through praying, seemed like for the different needs in the different countries, the Holy Ghost making intercession and travail. Then it just seemed like the Lord picked my mind up and just began to, again, I began to cry out in my heart while the Spirit all the time is making intercession and travail and telling Jesus that I want to be like Him and that I want to go on, that I want to be sincere and I want to be honest and just begin to believe Him for my personal need. And then the Lord took me back to the word in Isaiah where He said that cast your bread upon the waters and after many days it would return unto you again. How many of you understand what the Spirit really means by that? Cast your bread upon the waters and after many days it'll return unto you again. God showed us a principle there in His Word. What is the bread, huh? The Word. Amen. Now here's the principle. Hallelujah. And Jesus did a miracle to prove this principle. Hallelujah. He took five loaves, and two fishes. And as the disciples break the bread and passed it out on the waters, the people, sometimes waters represent people. Amen. They cast it out to the people. And when they come back, what had happened? That bread had already returned to 12 baskets full. Hallelujah to God. Isn't that wonderful? Hallelujah. They shared the bread. How many times have I told you Jesus pays me for serving Him? Every time I come and cast bread out to you, He beats me back to my prayer closet. Hallelujah. And I find there the 12 baskets full of bread. It's already returned to me. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. It returned back in such greater portion, beloved, than what they'd given out, so to speak. Is that wonderful? Now, that's a spiritual principle. Now, when did I get that mystery revealed to me? While I was awake. Over here on my knees this morning. You missed some of my handiah. Now, what was that? That was light. God took the word in Isaiah, and He took the word over here, and He put it together, and He clothed my mind with light, speaks of understanding. How can you know when you're putting on the word? How can you know when it's light? That is when you understand it, and it becomes light to you. Oh, hallelujah. So I cast off some ignorance. So that was a verse I'd always pondered on there in Isaiah, really wondering what it really meant. And many times I've meditated and prayed over that verse. Well, this morning He stripped off the ignorance about it, and He clothed me with the light of it. Hallelujah. Now I'll be able to walk more honestly. Don't you see? Amen. Praise God. Beloved, this is real going on with God. This is not a fictitious thing. This is not an imaginary thing in our mind. This is a real thing, staying awake and getting ready and getting dressed up for the coming of the Lord. And that's why the devil hates it so bad. There's more devils here over this church than probably any church in the United States of America, or probably the world. Because I'll tell you why, the dragon himself is here. The devil has the stature. Satan, the devil, and the serpent, and the dragon. And the dragon is here in person. That speaks a full stature, a slapping and a warring continually. That's why you'll get slapped down in the midst of the whole thing if you don't get down to business, because you're here between tremendous light on one side and tremendous powers of darkness on the other side. And you've got to stay awake and keep in the light, or you'll get slapped down with the powers of darkness on the other. And the Messiah on the other hand. You understand what I'm saying to you, saints? This is nothing to fool with around here. All right, let's hurry on. All right, let's go over then to, praise God. Where's that other verse I want? Let me get back in the spirit here. Now, about waking up, this is important. Praise the name of the Lord. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 15:34. Real quick, 1 Corinthians 15:34. And here's another thing here. Oh, this is a tremendous chapter. I wish I had time to go into it. This is the famous resurrection chapter in the New Testament here. And we find Paul is writing this chapter, the Spirit of God through him like a lawyer. And he's pleading the truth and the fact of the resurrection. So he reasons with them. Here, starting in verse 12, he said, "Now if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you there is no resurrection of the dead?" And there's a group of people today among the latter rain people that deny the resurrection of the body. And they say that Jesus is coming is just that, that's when he comes in you. Now Paul is writing to people that already have had Jesus to come inside of them, already have had the Holy Ghost, already been baptized in his name. He's writing to a people that have had all of that, and he's still preaching about Jesus coming again and telling them to look for his coming. Now he said, if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? Why? Because Christ was the first fruits of those that rose from the dead. Isn't that right, huh? And if he arose from the dead, then that guarantees you as a Christian, I'm a Mahandiah, that you're going to rise from the dead, hallelujah, with a spiritual body. Isn't that wonderful? All right, let's read it now. And he said, and if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. Yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. In other words, Paul said, if what you say is true, then I'm a false witness, I'm a false prophet, because I've testified to you, hallelujah, that Jesus rose from the dead. But you're saying you don't believe in the resurrection, so that puts Jesus back in the grave. And what happens? He said, and if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain. Ye are yet in your sins. Because when you went down into the watery grave in his name, you signified remission from sin, hallelujah, by his death and by his resurrection. Now if he's still in the grave, then you're still in your sins. And he said, then they which which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. Now let's skip down to verse 29, because this picks up the context again. And this is a scripture that the Catholics and some other groups base a tremendous doctrine of baptism for the dead, because they don't understand this verse. And you'd be surprised. I've read many commentaries and sought out for many places, and I've yet to see the Holy Ghost revelation of verse 29. Let's look at it. Else, he said, what shall they do which are baptized for the dead? He's not talking about you being baptized for your dead brother. He was talking about you being, Mashana. What profit is it if you were baptized for a dead Christ? A dead Jesus. You understand? Now what are we going to do then, said Paul? If we got baptized for a dead Jesus, what then does baptism profit us? Because if he isn't risen to put the anointing of his name and his resurrection power on the water, what good did it do you to get baptized then? You understand what we're saying to you? This verse bothered me many years on end. Now then let's look at it. And he said, why are they baptized for the dead, if the dead rise not at all? Why are they then baptized for the dead? Why were they baptized for a dead Christ then? That's the meaning of this verse. He said, I protest by your rejoicing which I have in Christ Jesus our Lord, I die daily. He said, if after the manner of beast I fought with, manner of men I fought with beast at Ephesus, what advantageth it me if the dead rise not? Let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. Be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. Awake to righteousness and sin not, for some have not the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame. Did you hear that? It's a shame not to have the knowledge of God. He's talking to those Corinthians. Some of you haven't yet been clothed with the light of his resurrection truth. You're still with your cloak of ignorance on concerning his resurrection. Now he said, awake, get up and get this dirty dress of ignorance off of you. Get this cloak of darkness off of you and get the light of a Mahandaya of his resurrection, the truth of it. Be clothed with it in your mind. Are you following me, saints? All right, now notice this here. He said, be not deceived, evil communications and corrupt good manners. Now, you're not awakened to righteousness. What is righteousness? That's putting on the light, and that's putting on Jesus Christ. That's casting off your ignorance and putting on righteousness. But as long as you have evil communication and as long as you have corrupt good manners, then he said you're still asleep. You understand what I'm saying to you? Evil communication, miserable communication, just yakking among yourselves, amen, when you could be undressing, beloved, the ignorance of your mind, and you could be dressing up, hallelujah, with the light of the Word. He said, awake, put on righteousness, let's watch, let's use every opportunity. Saints, I'm afraid we're not serious enough about this thing. I'm afraid we're still playing too much about it. Now you just play on if you want to, and one of these days in the near future, as sure as I stand here in this pulpit, Jesus Christ is going to split the eastern sky, and he's going to appear for a people that have been wide awake and have dressed up and put on their wedding garments. Hallelujah. And corrupt good manners. What's corrupt good manners? No, he wants us to be courteous, doesn't he, huh? Well, then what are corrupt good manners? Praise God. What are corrupt good manners, huh? What, honey? That's right. Manners that have an ulterior motive inside. I'll be nice to sister today because I want her to do something for me. Or I'll be nice to somebody today because I want them to think I'm so lovely and so wonderful. That hypocrisy, that thing that doesn't come from the Spirit of God because it comes out of the nature of Jesus. Anything that comes out of the flesh is corrupt, saints, and has an evil motive behind the whole thing and has an underlying purpose in it. Praise God. Now, are you following me? Now, awake, he said, and let's be sincere. The fifth chapter of Ephesians, and let's see something else of how to get awake. Let's wake up. Let's quit sleeping spiritually and drowsing around. There's not time for you to sleep and put on your wedding garments. You say, well, maybe somebody will wake me up even if I don't go in as a bride. Well, I'll go in as a virgin. Well, watch out. You might end up one of the foolish virgins. You might end up with not enough oil. Hallelujah. Even if you sleep right up to the end of the time, you might end up a foolish virgin. All right, the fifth chapter of Ephesians. Chapter of Ephesians, starting in verse 8. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. Now he says here, beloved, one time you was had darkness in you and upon you. But now you've been translated out of the kingdom of darkness and you've been brought over into the kingdom of light, but you still got some dirty garments on you. Now let's start undressing, because these garments of darkness and ignorance don't belong to the kingdom of light. You understand? All right, let's read on. He said, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth. He said, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. Now notice that. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. Don't fellowship them, whether they're upon your own mind or whether they're on somebody else's mind. Don't fellowship them or you'll miss out. Now notice this, verse 12, for it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. Did you hear that? You know when you're waking up, you know when you're awake, you're not going to be sleeping and you're not going to be talking about, you're not going to fill your mind with what somebody else is doing undercover and what they're doing secretly and what they're doing over here and over there. And he said, it's a shame. Praise God. Now, how many of you are still awake here? Say amen. There's another way of reveling. We get on the telephone. Oh, you know what the so-and-so did? Oh, I heard this. Oh, blah, 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 blah. You know what you're doing? You're fellowship in darkness. Amen. And after a while, that darkness is going to start bearing fruit inside of you. And you're going to start getting miserable. And you're going to start criticizing. And you're going to start accusing. You're going to start losing your peace. You're going to start losing your joy. You're going to start losing your love to pray and to get into the Word and get into the house of God and to go on. And pretty soon you're going to feel like just throwing up your hands and quitting and sitting down. Now, beloved, Jesus said, we're in this world, but we're not of this world. You say, Sister Hicks, how can you work on a job and not fellowship the unfruitful works of darkness? You don't have to if you don't want to. Amen. But there's a capacity inside of every one of us that revels, that delights in knowing the juicy news and the gossip and what's going on in secret here and yonder. And we give ourselves to that thing because that's what we want. And you can rise up against it and can plead the blood of Jesus Christ. And you can pray. You can even hum a spiritual song or sing a spiritual song as you have occasion. There are lots of things you can do if you want to. Amen. And when you've got your coffee breaks, instead of taking your coffee, well, you can go to the restroom and take your Bible and sit there and pray and study. Or take the word that's in your mind. There's all kinds of ways we can do things if we want to. Amen. Now, you're not awake when you're fellowship in darkness. And the best way to really get you into a sound sleep is keep on fellowship in that darkness. And it'll lull you. It'll be like a knockout pill to you. Until you're so woozy and oozy and every other kind of thing that you won't even, there'd be nothing inside of you that wants to stand up, hallelujah, and to fellowship the light then. Oh, hallelujah. Saints, how many of you want to wake up? Do you really, huh? How many of you are going to try to wake up a little bit more, huh? Now, nobody can do it for you. Amen. I'm going to tell you something. You listen to me. Even Jesus Christ himself can't wake you up when you want to sleep. You say, how you know that? Bless God, there goes that thing again. Because he tried three times to wake up the disciples over there in the Garden of Gethsemane, and they refused to be woke up. Then the time comes, Jesus said, sleep on now. And he wasn't talking about just a physical sleep. Sleep on now. They were still asleep when he went to Amamahaya, Pilate's Hall, and they were still asleep when he went to Calvary's Cross, and they missed all the lessons they could have learned. Who knows what they would have learned if they'd have been awake. On the Messiah, spiritually. Jesus Christ himself can't wake you up if you want to sleep. You know why? Because he's made you a free moral agent. You can fellowship what you want to fellowship. If you want to pull your clothes of ignorance and darkness round about you and fellowship them and fellowship somebody else's clothes of ignorance and darkness, you can have just what you want. But I'll let you in on a secret. You'll not have the light and you'll not walk honestly, nor you'll not put on Jesus Christ while you're doing it. All right, let's hurry up real quick. Now, praise God. Where are we here? Let's take another thing here.